Hello, welcome to Gabbing Gilmore. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Catherine.
We are sisters, moms, and in our humble opinion, Gilmore Girls experts.
So grab your drumsticks
and get ready to rock and roll
as we stroll through Stars Hollow.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, townies.
Hi. We are so excited to get back into Lane, part two.
Yeah.
The Rebellion.
Yeah. So if you didn't listen, go back to episode 20 and listen to part one of the deep dive on Lane Kim, which is all about her repression.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as depressing as it sounds.
No. And now we get to talk about the fun stuff, the Rebellion.
Woo.
Yeah.
Lane's getting wild.
She is.
Are you guys ready?
I mean, rebellions often follow repression.
They do.
If you think about any other situation where people are kind of repressed or oppressed, you know, at some point people want to just kick in and do their own thing and be their own individual.
For sure. Like when I think about it, really is true when it comes to kids and candy. Like if you're super, super strict with candy and like they can never have it.
Totally.
Then Halloween comes around and they go wild.
I mean, like pretty much anything like you tell your kid, like,
yeah.
Well, again, generally, like if you tell your kid, no, don't do that.
Right.
They're
it's
like,
bad.
Wait, no, I want to do that.
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try it.
So Lane put up with a lot of rules from her mother that were pretty tough and definitely had high expectations of her behavior. You know, we could even consider it repressive at times or oppressive where, you know, she was punished and locked up in her room.
Right.
And had, you know, these very specific expectations.
She did. And we still, I would say, like, and we still love Mrs. Kim.
We
I feel like
Mrs.
I need to throw it out there.
I
and
know.
We love Emily Kuroda. And, you know, she's going to be at FanFest
yes,
this year.
That's right.
Woo!
So, Mrs. Kim, we love you.
We're going to be there, too.
We understand you.
We do. Yeah, so like the question that kept popping up in my mind as we were thinking about part two and Lane's rebellion is how did Lane decide when she'd rebel and when she would follow the rules?
Yeah.
Because it almost felt like 50-50 from her. She was sometimes more than happy, maybe not more than happy, that's a stretch. She was okay with going along with her strict mom.
Right.
And then other times, it almost felt easy for her to rebel.
Yeah.
You know, or like easier. She had made like peace with it.
Yeah. Like
she, remember that time she said to Rory something like, well, it's really not a lie. It's just like a little fib. And,
yes.
You know, kind of like, I'm really comfortable with the fib.
This. Yeah.
Almost like I know how it feels to lie and
yeah,
that
she
doesn't
would say that,
feel
right?
good.
Yeah.
But the fib feels okay, you know? Like
so she did. She had a barometer.
She did.
Like where she was comfortable rebelling.
And she could like feel it in her body,
she
which
could.
Is cool.
Yeah.
Go Lane.
I know.
She's ahead of the game.
And it did seem that there were these times with rebellion that she made conscious decisions and put in elaborate plans. And other times were a little bit more minor.
Yeah. So let's talk about those minor ones. Mm. Some of the earlier rebellions were a bit more minor.
Yeah.
That she, like, things she's doing when she's 15, 16,
yeah,
when we first meet her.
Right. Things like how she goes to Lorelai's house and eats junk food.
Exactly. These things had, like, less of a risk factor.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she was kind of testing the waters to see, okay, I'm going to have pizza with Lorelai and Rory and see if she smells it on me when
right.
I get home, you know,
and
if she didn't,
it
was like, okay,
I can manage.
I can eat pizza regularly.
Right.
And it's all good. I'm not going to get into trouble. And I don't feel that bad about
it.
Well,
I was going to say also what you said is she was maybe also gauging how she felt.
Yeah.
Like, so I eat pizza. Not only like, can my mom tell, but how did that feel?
Right. Not only can I digest the pizza.
Right.
Okay.
I am not lactose intolerant.
Do I feel bad? Yeah. Do I feel jittery or weird on the inside for lying to my mom?
Right. Like that was over a line or not.
Yeah.
So
and
yeah,
then,
it seemed like
hiding music in the floorboards.
Yeah. And she says she started that at age 6.
She did.
So this was a long
Where'd she get her first CD at age 6?
I don't know.
Where'd that come from? Lorelai's stash, maybe?
I know.
Maybe
yeah,
she just like
maybe.
Handed her, I don't know, Smiths.
Remember that CD thing back in the day? You could order CDs
like BMG
through the mail.
And
yes.
Like, oh,
and it was
my gosh,
like 20
right.
cents initially when you signed up.
It was.
And you would get like 20 CDs.
Yes. But then you had to cancel
then,
or they
right,
would charge
you
monthly.
Yeah.
Maybe she did that through Lorelai and Rory. Right. Oh, I love that theory. There was another one too. It was like,
yeah, there were a few.
Something House. I used to pour through those catalogs and
right?
just circle all the ones I wanted.
Right. Totally. It was like the most exciting thing to
it
get.
It was.
Like,
even
imagine
though,
all the CDs.
Yeah. I don't think we ever signed up for it, but it
I did one.
You did?
With Dad, though. Yeah. Yeah. With his approval.
Did I know this? Did I get any?
I think we went in on it together. I think he got some and I got some. I don't know where you were.
Okay, now I'm going to complain again about being the younger sibling.
Maybe you were like
I complained last episode,
at
too.
That point.
I don't think so.
Maybe like
I
11,
wanted stuff
I'm 14
too.
Or something.
Dude, I wanted CDs too.
I can't explain where you
I'm
were.
Kidding. I did have CDs. I won't act like I was some deprived child. Another one I thought of is watching TV when her mom's not home, which like we really don't hear about until she counsels Kian
That's
on
right.
how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a little box on the
right.
TV that shows you if it's on or not. So
right.
aren't you just picturing Lane like my daughter's age, which mm-hmm. is 8 years old, kind of like investigating the TV, you know,
looking
can
around.
I get away with this or not?
Yeah. Testing it out.
Testing the waters.
Kinda scary.
Maybe I'll just turn it on for a little right. while.
Did she know? Nope. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I feel like these were in the double dressing, right?
Yeah. It seems like she did that for a while.
Yeah.
From a younger age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these early rebellions, it feels like they were kind of paving the way.
Yeah.
To, all right, how much can I get away with?
Mm-hmm.
And how important is this thing to me?
Right. And that was helping her as well, kind of like walk that line of being just a typical teen.
Yeah.
You know, in a town, and she's friends with Rory and she just wanted to do the things people were doing, kind of hang out, relax
yeah.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like these types of things helped her find some of that and maybe like a little bit of her individuality.
Definitely.
And then there are some things that we actually get to witness on the show that
yeah.
seem a little bit harder for her. They're not like the big rebellions, but
yeah.
just like, you know, things like when Lorelai and Rory invite her to the Bangles concert.
Yes.
She really wants to go.
Of course she does.
And she thinks like she can manage it though. It's like
yeah.
she seemed to think she could do that one. And that was going all the way into New York for
it
the
was.
Night. Well, they were coming home, but.
They were. But yeah, I think
still.
It was because it was music and
yeah.
a live show that she was like, yeah,
I
need
I have
to
do
this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to figure out a way to go. And because she was going with a trusted group. Lorelai
right.
and Suki were responsible.
Yes.
It's not like she was sneaking out of the house to get like picked up by some 18-year-old random guy
yeah.
who was going to drive them to the city. So it's like pretty safe.
Again, like how it felt to her. Like
yeah.
so that felt safe and okay
yeah.
to cross that line.
Yeah, she was checking in with her body.
Yeah. Go Lane. And then another one that she ends up actually getting in trouble for is that double date with Todd.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
like poor Lane, oh my gosh, like he didn't even really work out for her. It's like,
I know.
I wish he'd been a cooler date. So at least she got something out of it. But it's like the date's a bust.
It
and
was.
And then she still gets in trouble.
She like, still got in trouble.
Oh man. That one was a little bit more of an elaborate plan. She has
it
Rory
was.
In on it.
But they didn't really figure out until they were getting ready that they had to lie.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I know.
What did
it's
you
like,
guys think you were going to do? It's interesting that yeah. Mrs. Kim was not okay with Lane hanging out with Dean.
Yes.
And Lorelai assumed
yes.
it was okay.
She seemed surprised
for Lane
that.
To hang out with Rory
and
Dean like at mm-hmm. the same time.
Yep.
But Mrs. Kim still viewed him as a threat, I
yeah.
guess, because he's a teenage boy.
And generally that was under Lorelai's supervision, but not always.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like there was some miscommunication. I don't think Lorelai always understood what Mrs. Kim wanted.
No. Although, can I tell you, I can't remember if we've discussed this before, but the double date with Todd immediately preceded the Bangles concert.
Oh.
And so, remember Lorelai wanted to uphold the mom code.
Yes.
With Mrs. Kim. During the date with Todd.
Yes.
And then I think it was the very next episode.
I think
that
you're right.
She says to Rory, like, she told her mom where she's going.
Yeah.
Why would she do that? That was stupid.
That made I was like zero
Lorelai
sense.
That's so inconsistent. Who
Again,
are you?
Again, is it because like Lorelai was involved in the Bangles concert that she thought it was okay?
Maybe.
But it, you're still not. Now you're lying. Like Lorelai herself would have been lying, essentially.
Yeah, and that's a big lie going into the city.
Yeah. Like taking someone's kid out of state, you know.
To a rock concert.
Yeah, that you know they don't approve of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah, that makes no sense.
No sense. But yeah, it's a sidebar. We can.
Yeah, I know, right?
We can move on. You know, another thing I wondered is cheerleading.
Oh, yeah.
Did Lane get permission to do cheerleading?
That was confusing because when Rory's looking for her and she calls Mrs. Kim, Mrs. Yeah. Kim says she's at school studying or
yeah,
like yeah, that was strange.
My theory is Mrs. Kim didn't know.
Okay, yeah,
but that's also something to be doing kind of out in the open.
I know, right?
And not tell your mom because
yeah.
There's one scene. This is a discrepancy I'm okay with, but they make Stars Hollow High in a couple different locations.
Yeah.
Like one day you have to walk to get there. Another day it seems like it's in the town square.
Yeah.
If it was in the town square and they're doing that pep rally right in the middle of the square.
That's where Mrs.
Which
Kim's
I think
houses.
Regardless of where the high school was, pretty sure they were doing the pep rally in the town square.
For sure.
Wouldn't Mrs. Kim walk by and see? I mean, their house is right there.
And that rebellion, I feel like, was slightly against Rory as well. Like,
yeah, it was.
You know, but just in that way that she was trying to find her own life.
Yeah.
And she tells Rory that.
Yeah. And she's like, she knew that Rory wouldn't really dig it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rory's got Chilton and Dean, and Lane feels like she needs her own life. So not only does she potentially not tell her mom, but then she didn't tell Rory.
You're right.
She really kept that to herself.
Against
like her own
everyone.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sick of you all.
Yeah. Go
this
Lane.
This is for me.
Why not?
Yeah. Rah, rah.
And then we see things get even more serious. More significant rebellions.
Yeah. She's really, really testing some things out as she's getting a little bit older here.
Yeah. Like, even as she started to rebel even more, she still thought about her mom and what will my mom think, you know, most of the time. So, like, dating Henry, for example.
I know. Oh.
This was an interesting one because she knew her mom would approve.
Yes.
So it was almost like she was looking for a rebellion.
Right? Right.
That she thought she would get bored or grossed out with him if her mom approved, which is fascinating.
I wonder if that's true.
She kept it secret.
I don't think I've seen that play out.
What?
They're Lane telling her mom knowing about Henry.
Yes.
And giving her approval. Mm-hmm. And then Lane dating him. Because we do see that Lane was very hesitant to even like talk to Henry at the dance with him. She's like, oh, it's the only other Korean guy, of course.
Yeah.
So that is like that rebellion.
It was.
Like,
right.
No.
Right. Like, why does the Korean boy have to go for me? Because that's what my parents would pick.
Right.
Why can't there be like someone different?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
And then she turns out to like him.
And they do all the conference calls, the three-way phone calls.
Right, Rory's involved.
And then the Atiskit episode is my favorite.
That's the bust.
When they have the whole plan to meet after the basket and the whole thing about driving around the square and beeping twice. And, oh, it's so sad.
Henry kind of
breaks your heart. Henry's like, I can't do this.
He's no Dave.
He tries, but he was a good kid.
He was a great kid. I love Henry.
He had potential.
He did. He just wasn't into all of that, as you said, subterfuge.
It's a great word. He was not. He was not.
He just wanted to date Lane and be upfront about it and go to the prom. And, you know, like you said, he's a good kid. He just kind of wanted to, like, do it up front.
I wonder if more fans would choose him or Zach.
Oh, him or Zach. I thought you were going to say him or Dave.
Oh, no. I think Dave would always be first. I'm not even going to put that question out there, Jackie. I know what they would
say.
That
would be fun to compare Henry and Dave, though.
We're going to do some polls.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Let's see what you guys think.
Henry or Zach? Very different.
Well, maybe we have to have another episode on all of Lane's guys, too. I'm taking notes, y'all. I know, I was going to say, we're like, literally.
We always talk about, notes. Like, we want to do a full episode on that. Uh-huh. And we said we got to take notes on that. So we're going to try to keep track.
Men. Okay. So yeah, that was dating Henry. Yeah. And
yeah. And then, I mean, really, like, one of her next big steps is when she comes across those drums. Like, the music store opens, yeah, and her life just starts to change.
Something was beckoning her.
She goes her in there.
Her body was just getting, yeah, pulled toward the store.
That inner core. Yeah. She meets Sophie. She's got, like, a female-run business here, yes, a role model, someone to look up to, you know.
That was, by the way, that's such a throwaway point, but I want to give a little more credit to that.
Yeah.
Because in almost every pop culture TV, movie, you almost always see men running music stores.
That's so true.
Right, except for maybe High Fidelity.
Okay.
The show. Okay. I've seen both. Yeah.
I like the show. It was good.
The movie, of course, was all men.
Right, okay.
And then they modernized it a little bit, and they had...
Was it Zoe Kravitz? Did she own it?
I was going to need like a minute, like three solid minutes, yeah, to come up with her name. Yes. Zoe Kravitz was in that. That was a good show.
That was a really good show. Highly recommend. But yeah, so she's like pulled to the music store and pretty like instantly sits down at the drums, and she's found her place in the world.
She knew that was
right
for her.
Where she's supposed
to
be.
She was like, oh yeah, this is my thing.
And from there, it's like, now she has a plan. Like, now she knows what she needs to do in life.
Yes.
She has to play these drums, and that means she needs a band. So then she starts putting the pieces into place to find a band, which is awesome. Like, she has to do a lot of work to do that.
It is awesome.
She has to use Lorelai's phone number. Well, she has to put it out in ad, first of all.
Right.
Which took her quite a while.
That was a lot of effort.
It was a lot of effort.
And can I... Okay. I just had a thought.
Yeah.
Do you think... It's interesting that she chose the drums out of anything else in that store.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a little part of her that picked the biggest, most inconvenient instrument because she knew it would be hard, and she almost felt like her rebellion should be hard, that all of her subterfuge should be difficult, and that... Maybe one day, like, it would be so hard that she would have to tell her mom someday.
Ooh.
Underneath it all.
I'm getting
like super psychoanalytical.
But
here.
I think that is very valid, because it does, as we continue to explore these major rebellions,
yeah,
it seems like there's that part of her that really wants to burst out and take her whole room apart for her mom to see, and just like totally expose herself for who she is to her mom and see what happens.
Yeah.
But she keeps repressing that part.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's like a line through all of these rebellions, and then it grows and grows and grows and grows until she can no longer ignore it anymore. And it just explodes.
Right. Yeah, because like she could have found a used acoustic guitar for like $100,
a
maybe
ukulele,
even less.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be easier to stash in Rory's room.
Totally.
But she picked like the most difficult, biggest instrument.
Yeah, you don't just like carry your drums
shoulder. You don't. And they're loud.
Yeah.
Because she also could have, if she had found a way to stash a guitar in her closet, which is doable.
Totally.
She could have played when Mrs. Kim was out at Bible study
on
her own. I mean, it would have been risky.
Right.
But she could have. Whereas like drums, no, absolutely not.
And it seems like something like an acoustic guitar was okay with Mrs. Kim.
Yeah.
Because she allows that into her home.
That's true. It
plays the Psalms. And
that's true. So an electric guitar she wouldn't have loved.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe that's what Lane could, you know, might have gravitated to more than an acoustic guitar.
Right. Something that is really not okay. Mm. Yeah. I like that theory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, does she want to be found out?
Yes. Well, and I think she just really wants to like expose her true self. Like, she wants to be seen by her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that as a theme with a lot of these, the mother-daughter or parent-child relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that's what kids want.
Right.
So
they
want to
be seen as their full selves.
Yeah.
Aw.
I know, right?
So then, of course, doing the band and
brings
creating this band brings her to Dave.
And brings us Dave.
Yay! Dave.
Such a good name, Dave Rogalski.
It is. There's someone who worked on the show that was Rogalski.
They used that last name another time.
I noticed that.
When is it? I can't think now. I got to write it down next time I hear. I was like, wait, what? It's before Dave comes on.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it involves a phone and an office and someone saying like Mr. Rogalski on the phone.
Uh-huh. So it's not an actual character. It's just, there's someone they're referencing.
Right. Yes, someone they're referencing.
All right, you guys, you tell us.
Yeah, we'll figure. Yeah, it'll occur to us as soon as we leave here.
Write it on Instagram.
Dating Dave is very linked with joining the band.
Yeah,
and this rebellion was interesting because Lane wanted to bring it to light eventually. She's like taking a different approach than she did with Henry.
Yeah,
because maybe she feels more serious about Dave.
Right,
they let it bloom a little bit
more.
But so now she's like, okay, I'm gonna do this workup so that I get my mom to like him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna like integrate him into our world slowly so that she'll just like him and she'll be okay with us dating.
See, again, it's like she still wants her mother's permission and wants to please her mother. So she likes Dave. She wants her mom to like Dave. Like, that's sweet.
And she feels like it's possible.
She does.
Whereas like with Zach, she wouldn't really.
Yeah, right.
If Zach had come in this moment as her love interest, he wouldn't have been someone that she could integrate into their lives like Dave.
No.
But Dave doesn't mind going to church. He doesn't mind playing those songs.
Wait, can I tell you my favorite Dave part is it's still in the beginning. It's the 24-hour dance-a-thon.
Oh, yeah.
When he comes over.
The sandwiches.
The sandwiches.
He's so cute.
And he does, like, that whole story to indicate that he understands that he needs to be lying and that he can't, like, say exactly why he's there, but that, you know, he's going to be standing over here. And the whole thing is very impressive.
It's so cute.
And super cute.
He's
and
also,
he's
respectful to Mrs. Kim. He's not rude.
No, he's not.
Oh,
he's not even like a ha-ha kind of, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, he does seem to respect her.
Yeah, he does.
Which is cool. So I know. So yeah, so that made Lane feel good about moving forward with him. Because if he's showing respect already, like right off the bat, then she can invest in that as well.
So then this builds and to the next builds. The next rebellion, which is like one of the biggest.
I just hit my head on the microphone. Are you okay? I got like so excited about what
I'm out.
We're building.
Jackie, are you okay?
I just like slammed forward. Now we get to the big moment of Kyle's party. And Mike, okay, there's a bunch of stuff going on here.
I love this episode.
It ends in a place that's not so great for Lane.
No.
But when it starts, like, again, like, she's putting in the effort, you know, to figuring out how to make this gig happen. And it involves Rory and Jess and moving drums and, like, all these things. It involves Young Chu.
It did.
Who she is, again, like,
fake dating.
More subterfuge. Yeah, fake
He's
dating.
Another appropriate Korean boy.
Yeah. And this allows her to do more out of the house because technically on a date with Young Chu.
Right.
So these are all like working pretty well for her.
Mm-hmm.
And things go well with the gig until she has
some beer.
But also what I noticed right before she has the beer is Dave finally starts to crack a bit. Like, so all of this starts to get to him. He is annoyed by Young Chu.
He is.
So annoyed
by
him.
What is
night.
He doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just like can't drop it, even though like they're having this awesome night and it's their gig. But Dave's like, and that gets to her. Lane. She sees Dave's face and she was like, oh no.
Well, because Dave puts it together that Young Chu's in love with her.
Yeah.
And she admits that she knew that.
Yeah.
And he's just like, WTF, get him out of here.
And she's feeling bad for Young Chu because she is using him and she feels bad about it. He was supposed to also be using her, but then that appears to fall off to the side and now he's in love with her.
Yeah.
So she does feel bad about it.
I think the other big thing here was that she was also upset about the prom.
Yes. Yes.
Because she'd been doing this long build up.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a long con. as they say. And so she'd been really working on getting Dave Rogalski approved as her prom date.
Yeah.
And it was shortly before this that her mom was like, no.
Not only was she working hard on getting him as the prom date, but she's doing all of this for the band, like hiding everything she's doing to be in the band. It's a lot that she's doing.
Yeah.
So she's getting tired too. And then
she's getting tired. I think she's getting frustrated by all of the hiding.
Yes. And then, as you were saying, then her mom, she actually brings it to her mom, right?
Like, yeah. And she's like, here's Young Chu, the guy who's going to bring you to the prom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's, I want Dave to bring me. He's not Korean.
He's not Korean.
So she's like, what do I do with that?
So everyone's getting a little pissy about this.
Yeah. So there was some build up.
Yeah. Build up to the beer.
Yeah. And I feel like she was kind of learning, you know, like there were moments where it felt like she could kind of manipulate her mother with the whole, as you said, like just dating Young Chu.
Yeah.
Okay, I can be out of the house a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I can eat junk food with my friends. Like, there's some things I can manage.
Even the band.
And this, even the band.
It's going okay.
And this is one thing. She just couldn't quite get past her.
I know. It's like she comes with the big question to her mom.
Yeah.
And it was just shut down.
Right. So then she has a beer.
Yeah. Beer and a half.
Beer and a half.
She calls her mom.
She chugged it.
Yeah.
I love when Dave notices and hangs up the phone.
Yeah. Although he's mad.
He is.
He's still mad, I should say. And now it's like he was already upset. And then she goes and calls her mom. And he hears her saying,
yeah,
I'm like dating Dave Rogalski or whatever. Uh-huh. And he was like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, what has all this been
you're
for?
You're ruining everything we've built up to.
Because
he's just involved as a co-conspirator.
He really is. Yeah. So what's so interesting after that party,
I mean,
we know, like, Lane talks about that, you know, her mom's not really, like, answering her, not really speaking to her the day after. And Lane can't quite figure out, like, what this reaction is, because she expected her mom to come, like, full on Mrs. Kim and be, like, waiting for her when she got home and all those things. And she's not doing that. So Lane, like, essentially punishes herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she just knows what the standard is. So
isn't
if her
that,
mom's not
wild?
Gonna say it, she's like, well, I'll just do it. So I'll go to the Seventh Day Adventist College. I'll sit
at
the church services for the next 3 months.
It's so sad.
Yeah. And she's still not getting a lot from her mom.
Mm-mm.
Like, Mrs. Kim's still ignoring her until Dave shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'm just gonna go all in, like, lay it out for her.
One of the cutest moments of Gilmore Girls.
It is a good speech. I love when he says, please don't make me repeat that.
I know. So cute.
As Lane's just like gawking.
So cute.
Because he didn't like pre-approve this.
No.
He
just did it.
Speech.
Yeah.
From there, we know what happens with Lane and Dave. And they do end up getting to go to the prom, which unfortunately we never see.
No.
Totally want to see that.
No.
But Lane gets punished right away.
Yeah.
Like, after Mrs. Kim approves of prom.
Yeah. So
now
the
punishment gets doled out.
But Lane is grounded. You can talk
to
her.
It was like 2 months.
You know, once a week for like 10 minutes or something.
I think it was like every other day.
Right.
But she said she's grounded for like 2 months.
That's a long time.
It's a very long time. But this was big.
It was big. So do you think that Lane didn't rehearse with her band that whole time?
Ooh, good question. Were they on hiatus after that?
Maybe.
Huh.
Because they were just gaining momentum with the gig. How much do you think they got paid for that gig?
They've got paid in a Hummel.
Couple handfuls of Tostitos and four beers.
But honestly, like, my favorite Lane rebellion is when she dyes her hair.
Oh, so good.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
So good, Jackie. I know. This is like, I love this one because it was so spontaneous.
Yeah.
So this is different, I would say, than the other ones up until now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been kind of planned. And then she was trying to get permission to rehearse in Hartford with the band 2 or 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
Because Sophie's area in the music studio is not really working.
So again, like, she was just going to come clean and
ask. She was.
Which is,
and she starts to say, like, Mama, I have something that's good for you and it's good for me. She's trying to convince herself of this.
Yeah.
And it's like good for her
mom. I don't think it's good for her mom.
Too. And she's about to lay on the request
when
Mrs. Kim is like, oh, look, I have all these applications to these wonderful schools that the pastor approved.
Seventh-day Adventist
And she's
schools.
Like, I've never heard of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
that looks like it just like crushes her spirit.
It did. I think it really,
it really did.
It crushed her spirit. But then she got mad.
Yeah.
So she's out in the town square with Rory. She's like, you know, basically kind of admitting all the things that we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've lived my whole life going along with what my mother wants.
Yep.
And I don't have a spine, you know,
right.
And like, I
followed the rules, like,
yeah, and I can't find a way to like tell her what I really want. Yeah. And no more. I'm going to do something so bold.
See, I can't believe she wasn't angry
that
before.
That I can't go back on it.
This
yeah.
is like the first time we see her truly angry.
I know.
About the repression.
I think so.
That's kind of fascinating.
I think so. So she decides to dye her hair, which, as we all know, doesn't really pan out. She crumbles
amazing.
Under the pressure
yeah.
of her mom returning home.
Yeah.
That's enough to send her back.
It really is.
For more hair dye. How
yeah.
sad is that?
I know, because she goes through the whole thing, like bleaching her hair. It's a multi-step process.
Mm-hmm.
Rory's helping her.
Yeah. And a little part of her, so this was earlier on in her relationship with Dave. I don't think they were really
right.
dating yet, but they liked each other, and he was like, you have to stay in the band.
Yeah.
So I think she was looking at this as kind of a lifeline to him too.
I think so.
In this
too.
Relationship that she's trying to blossom.
Right. Like, she didn't want to lose her place in the band. Like, what
yeah.
if they moved on without her?
Because right. the band, Dave,
yeah.
all of it.
So she's like, okay, I have purple hair. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a band person.
Right. That was a good way to declare it.
Drummer, like, look at me with purple hair.
Yeah. So even though she wanted all of that so badly yeah. and was so mad,
yeah.
she still went back on it.
Yeah, I know. Rory's like, no.
Right?
She says, go back. No. It's like, yeah. yes. Get out. Get
She's
me
like, I just went to all this effort uh-huh. to help you.
But honestly, when Lane is running around in the town square with the in the interim,
oh my gosh.
Like between
right.
the bleach and the purple,
oh my
is
God.
So freaking hilarious. And Lorelai sees her from the school. Like, it's just one of my absolute favorite moments in,
that's
the,
right.
in the whole show.
I have to go back and watch that
I
again because
so hard.
Half the time I'm, you know, I've got my ear things in and I'm like cooking or
yes.
doing other things.
Yep.
So I don't catch those little moments that are just visual.
Right.
So funny.
And then, yeah, then there's like our favorite rebellion.
Ooh.
CBGBs.
CBGBs.
I just say, so your Boy, husband.
It was CBGBs.
I should make this as my Totsie, but your husband had a CBGB shirt that he passed on to my son.
That's right.
And my son is obsessed with it and wears it like once a week.
It looks
it's
so
one
good
of his
on
favorite
him.
Shirts. It's so cute.
It's so cool. Makes him look so cool.
He loves his band t-shirts.
I know.
But anyway. So yeah. it's fun to get like this little glimpse into the back of CBGB's, but
yeah. So we know like she's trying to make this work.
Again.
It's kind of like the Hartford rehearsal thing.
Right. She thinks she's going to bring this to her mother or something.
Yeah. And get permission
either, like,
to be out all night.
Or didn't she kind of say she was going to have an alibi? She was like trying to come up with an alibi.
She was coming up. Yeah. Like, what if there's an astronomy
yeah.
class and they have to go observe the stars late at night?
She
was trying to come up with a cover story. And she just couldn't.
She couldn't even say she was going to be with Rory because she's not allowed
she
to stay there.
Yale. But honestly, wouldn't that have been better? Like, why didn't she write her a note on her way
yeah.
out that said, like, I had to go see Rory in New Haven. Like, she needs me or something.
I know.
Like,
it's this through line of Lane wanting her mom to find out. Like,
yeah.
this is where it comes to a head.
Yeah. She
finally.
Wants to be found out.
Yeah. Like, there were probably a few things she could have done to figure it out. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
no,
mm-hmm.
it just
mm-hmm.
all falls by the wayside. And she just walks out.
Yeah. She needed to like break the seal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And this
was
a
let
huge
it all
way.
Spill out.
Like, she sneaks out of the house, doesn't leave a note, goes to New York City, like everything. It's pretty big.
Which is so depressing.
No,
that
again, I
the,
know. It's like
the gig didn't work
I
out.
Know.
Even she
I
went
know.
To all this effort
right.
to not even have the label hear
yes.
them. This makes
Do you
me want to
her
cry.
Face when, of course, she's mad at first when they say, yeah. you know, you guys are bumped.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she finally realizes there's nothing she can do, she just stands there and the band members are all arguing.
Yeah.
And she's just standing there amidst that chaos.
Yeah.
Realizing like,
yeah.
I just went through all this.
I just got chills, Jackie.
Yeah. And basically
like
full
body
she,
chills.
I think she knows like I just blew up my life.
Yeah.
And
for what?
For this. And she keeps it going. So she doesn't
yeah.
even go home.
No.
Instead, she just heads off to Rory's, hides out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Of course, then, like, Rory calls Lorelai right away.
Chickens out again.
She does. Yeah. Yay. It's like, I think she knows what's to come and she just wants to delay it just a little bit longer. Like,
we've all been there.
Yeah. Like, I just want to live in this, like, potential freedom.
I can't face the music yet.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
And I think she's like sort of getting used to what's to come. Because I think she even says to Rory something about like, well, I'm going to have to go to a Seventh Day Adventist college. Like, that's But it's so sad, the conversations they have too that next day where she's saying like, I have nothing. You have everything. Like, look at this. You live in a dorm. You have all of this. Like, my life is sad. It's like,
That was really sad to hear that out of her mouth.
She's really down then.
Yeah. And Rory tries to convince her, like, you do have a good life. Yeah. You have all these things.
And she says some valid things.
Yeah, she does.
But it's like it's all built up too much for her. And she just can't take it anymore.
I know.
And this is really the beginning of her next phase.
It sure is.
Like, this kicks it all off. Nothing is ever the same. Well, I would say nothing is ever the same with her and Mrs. Kim. But that doesn't mean negatively. You know, they definitely have bumps coming up that they do get through, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know what it's going to look like in that moment, you know? And I think she knows, like, this is never going to be the same.
Right.
I can't go back.
That's a scary thing.
Yeah. When you're in that place, I can't go back, but I don't want to go forward. Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. That's a tough place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
For part three.
I know, you guys. We're doing a part three. Did we mention that?
The three phases of Lane.
Yeah.
So that was her rebellion. And we're next time, you know, we're going to get into what comes next for Lane. Mm-hmm. So, like, after the seal is broken and everything spills out and it's on the table with Mrs. Kim, what happens after that?
Can't wait to get into it. All right, let's get Tatsy.
Jackie, how did Gilmore show up in your life this week?
All right, if I say rye toast, what does that bring to mind?
Yes. I know. When it was the day of the Yale game and Brennan is working at Luke's?
Ding, ding, ding. So I do not personally like rye toast.
Does anyone?
My husband. So we go to... like a local breakfasty place.
That's weird. And I'm just kidding.
No, I know. Like, he orders some stuff and then he gets rye toast. I was like, dude. So then I have to tell him the whole story.
Did you actually just order rye toast?
Like, first off, why? Sorry, Steve. I know. He listens to this religiously every time. So I was going to be like, hey.
Hi.
I appreciate your rye toast.
We love you.
You gave me a good Tatsy. So, of course, it brought to mind Brennan in that whole episode. But what's so weird, this happens to us all the time, is like we'll have a Tatsy moment and then we see the episode like within maybe like a week.
Oh.
And so it was on. I'm like, here's Froggy.
Oh, it's I love that. Yeah. Frog boy.
And yeah, that whole episode is awesome.
I love that
too. But I love that Rory knows, like, no, you can't order from him. He's not writing it down.
Like this complicated omelet with substitutions and
jack cheese. Whatever.
Right, jack cheese.
I also like when she orders
something
the rye
on
toast.
The side, like home fries or something. Come on, Lorelai.
And she orders the rye toast, and he's like, "Do you want that toasted?"
You did the voice too.
So funny.
I love that.
All right, what do you got?
Mine's about food, too.
Oh, okay.
So my husband and daughter went to a cafe, and they brought me home a brownie.
Okay.
And I had a bite of the brownie, and I went, oh, my gosh. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is good. Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
I do. When Luke makes her those brownies, and they're like, he dumped extra chocolate into them by accident.
Ding.
And he's like, I couldn't think of anyone else who would eat these.
Exactly. And so when I ate this brownie, I was like,
brownie too.
This is so chocolatey. Yes. But then I was like, it's good.
No, it's good. I had the same brownie.
But then I was like, I don't think people who don't love chocolate as much as I do could eat this.
It was like
brownie.
Super rich, almost like fudge.
Super rich.
So good.
It's like only true chocolate lovers.
Yeah.
There should be a warning on it.
I know.
You know? I mean, I loved it.
It was
but
amazing.
It was like, normal people couldn't eat this brownie.
It's not just like a normal brownie.
No.
Yeah. this is super, super chocolate. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
I know, I just saw that one too.
Oh, this is really chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. So we both had food Tootsies.
Yeah, well, you know.
Maybe this will be a fun week. Like, send us a message or we'll put a little thing out in our stories to ask you if you've had any food Tootsies, food-related Tootsies lately. All right, Townies, thanks for joining us this week. We had a good time talking about Lane Part 2.
Yeah.
And we would love it if you'd join us on Instagram at Gabman Gilmore. That's 2 G's in the middle. And be sure to hit follow in the upper right-hand corner of your app so that you never miss an episode.
Gabman Gilmore is produced with support from Studio 20 South. Cover art by MGI Studios. See you next time. Copper boom!